Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Happy Saturday.
Hi. I'm doing great. Excited to be here.
As y'all can see, we got a special guest in the building. But before we jump in, how's everybody doing?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed to be here. Busy time, busy season, but God is keeping me and I'm just blessed to be here. Yes.
I feel like that is like the common thread, Aaliyah. Like everybody's just kind of in a tailspin. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, so you up to something. So all I can tell people is lean in, just lean in during this time and make sure you are hearing him clearly because it is so much going on. But yeah, right there with you. Life is life and work is working, house is housing, all the things, like literally all the things. And I'm like, okay, I just had to take a moment today and be like, I don't care what's going on. I'm going to step away and I'm going to lay in my hammock for like 10 minutes because I just need to like decompress, feel the wind on my face and just like exhale for a minute. And then, you know, I'll get back to whatever, but it's real in these streets. It's real.
Yeah, it is. Yes. It really is.
I've been having to take those breaks as well throughout the day. It's just like, no, got to pause. Got to breathe. Yeah. Take a break. It's a lot. It's a lot in the Moore household every single day. Yes. I was telling Aaliyah before the show what life is like with four kids. And it just, woo. It's always busy.
I was like, my husband claims he wants four kids. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll see, you know?
Hey.
I don't know. I would be calling Toya.
Like, I was going to say, put on speed dial. She could be your role model. Put on speed dial.
I don't know. We don't always get it right. I don't know if I could be the role model.
Girl, ain't nobody perfect, but you do it well. I can honestly say you do it well. And you make it look easy, even though it's not. You make it look easy. So,
wow. Yes.
So, there you go. Put on speed dial. Yes. Wow. Well, y'all, as y'all can tell, we have a very, very special guest in the building. And you know what, Toya? I don't even think we talked about, like, who's doing the bio. Do you want to do the bio? We need to talk about this. So y'all getting it live. Go for it.
So as a former reality TV contestant, Aaliyah Reynolds Crosby has walked a path of transformation, exchanging the allure of reality TV influence for a real life surrendered to Jesus Christ. Amen. Having experienced a profound encounter with Jesus, Aaliyah has now dedicated her life to spreading the message of hope, redemption, and faith. Aaliyah is a multi-creative with pursuits to include podcast hosting, songwriting, and panelist speaking. Her latest endeavor, Pure Talks Podcast, aims to inspire and uplift her audience, sharing her own journey of spiritual growth and self-discovery in Jesus. Through her podcast, Aaliyah creates a safe space for authentic conversations, exploring topics such as parental wounds, identity, overcoming addiction, and purpose, all while pointing her listeners to the transformative power of Jesus Christ. We are so excited to have Aaliyah Reynolds with us on Becoming Eva today.
Thank you for having me. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored much. To be here.
So much to talk about, like so much. And I mean, y'all know if you like, she looked familiar. Okay, we're going to get into it. She was definitely on a season of Love is Blind and was making waves while on there. So we go get behind the waves a little bit. But yep, I mean, would love to just know a little bit before we get into that. Like you said, you're a Southern girl, like where you're from, you know, just a little bit of that before how, you know, before we get into how you got on Love is Blind. So
So I am originally from Texas. I guess I can claim Texas, but I was a military child. We moved a lot growing up. And so I've lived overseas, but most of my roots family are either in Louisiana or Texas. So I am like Southern bred family in Georgia as well, in Atlanta. So just Southern bred. I love being from the South. And yeah, I'm a world traveler. I'm a travel nurse. So I love hopping around and I work in healthcare. And yeah, I'm still newly married, a newlywed, currently living in Dallas now, love it here. And yeah, it's been a whirlwind. This life is, it's just a crazy journey. I think it's just so interesting to me how, you know, you can be in one season of life and then a year later, things can just be totally different. But I just think that that's the beauty in how God does things, you know, and how he shows up. So, yeah.
That's so true. And I feel like even when my husband and I got married, like the season was so quick. Like I had dated a guy for 4 years and then with my husband, we dated, courted, got engaged, and married all within a time span of a year. So it's crazy how quickly like God can just speed up time almost. Makes it feel like he speeds it up.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I just got married in December and in January of 2024, marriage was not on the radar at all. But also Jesus was not on the radar. It's just like when he shows up and what he wants to do, he does, you know, it's intense. It's strategic and it can only be him and his brilliance. Honestly, I'm still mind blown.
I love that.
I can't wait,
y'all. We're going to connect all these dots because it's evident that a lot has happened in a short amount of time. So you talked about being an Army kid, moving around a lot. Can you just tell us a little bit about, I know you're newly saved, like what was your upbringing like? Did you have a perspective when it came to like religion or Christianity or Christ, or were you kind of just like, I'm gonna do my own thing? Like, what was that like growing up?
So growing up for me, my mom was a single parent for a portion of my childhood. And I'd say like, I grew up maybe seeing study Bibles here and there around the house, but it wasn't something that was super enforced on me. Mm-hmm. When she got married to my dad who raised me from six and beyond, they did give their life to Christ. We were going to church for a small time. Without going into too much detail, we did not maintain that that practice of going to church, of learning about the Bible and things. I think it probably lasted for a couple of years. But in that couple of years, I did have a pretty deep exposure to things. We were watching people like Minister D. Craig Lewis and who else? There was another pastor, I can't think of his name at the moment, but we were watching people who were truth speakers and truth tellers. But I was really young at the time, and I think although my parents were maybe getting discipled, I don't believe I was getting discipled properly. And so I sort of had this resentment towards God and the Bible and Christianity growing up. I felt like it was limiting, you know. All I knew was like, one day it was okay to put on Destiny's Child, the next day it wasn't, you know? So for me, it was like, what's going on here? Like, why is everything just flip-flopped upside down? Why are there so many rules? Why are there so many restrictions? And so I think that created resentment for me, but I think it was just the lack of discipleship for myself growing up.
My parents were just... just like no secular music.
Yeah.
But they didn't really explain like the why behind it. And I think it's important to really explain to children about guarding their eyes and ear gates. And I think as a parent, we're trying our very, very best in this world, and it's so hard just like training them to guard their spirits. I mean, our parents were just like, don't listen to it. But when we got older, we started driving, we started turning to the other stuff, and then we would pull up in the driveway, we turn it back to the Christian music, like radio station. Like, we did stuff like that.
That was definitely me. I was just okay. I'll just say I was very rebellious, y'all. I was so rebellious. I still to this day apologize to my parents, because I just did what I wanted to do. Like, I was like, okay, if I can't do it here, I'll do it elsewhere. But yeah, I rebelled as a result. I think I wish, sometimes I would have just leaned into it and just been like, God, who are you? But I don't think that I ever had a moment like that. So, yeah, that's sort of like my foundation with religion, so to speak.
Now, okay, we know you're a rebellious one, as most of us were. And honestly, without Christ, you just prone to rebellion. That's like literally just who we are. So I don't want you to feel like, you were I went out. It may have played itself out differently for everybody, but I mean, at the same time, I get it. I'm trying to connect dots to, I know you were saying you had a male in the household, a gentleman who raised you. So, what was your perspective as it relates to relationships growing up, and how did that lead you to pursuing something like Love is Blind?
So growing up, I think not being raised by my biological was very difficult. Like, I struggled with self-love and self-worth, and that's not something I recognized when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. I think after going through several failed relationships and just wrong turns and things, I realized, like, man, I really don't love myself. So after some relationships and going through certain things with men, I got into therapy and I started trying to become a better me. And that was really difficult because I realized I didn't have emotional intelligence. I didn't even know what that was really. I didn't have a healthy way of coping with my feelings. I was a huge runner and all these different things. It's just very unhealthy reactions and responses to things. And so I got into therapy. I was single. I like made this commitment to be single for a while because I was like, why am I hopping in and out of all these relationships? This is just not good. So I stopped doing that. And when Love is Blind actually approached me, I had been single for quite some time. And I was like, okay, well, I've been healing and I've been in therapy and I've been single and kind of doing my own thing, maybe dating here and there, going on a date here or there with somebody. Maybe I am ready. Like, that was kind of my mindset. Like, I've gone through some healing and I've learned some lessons and I've made some bad mistakes, but I've grown from them. So maybe I can put myself out there in this way. I will be honest, I was very hesitant. I actually received the call and things, and then I waited a while because at the time, I was like very big on talking to everybody I could about decisions I made. I was calling family, calling my parents who were now divorced at this point, and calling my best friends. And everybody's like, do it, do it. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. You can't pass this up. You never know. You might meet, And so I just said, okay, why not? Like, what's the worst that could happen? I won't meet somebody. Okay, then I'll just keep living, So that's sort of what led me on the show.
But then you met somebody on the show. Like, what was going on through your mind through that interaction when you were getting to know Uche, like through the pods and kind of building up that intimacy through the wall?
With Uche, it was very I unexpectedly connected with him. He was my last date that first day. We went on 15 dates the first day. And I got through the first 14. I remember there was a little break in between my 14th and 15th date. And I remember thinking like, okay, none of these guys are it. None of these guys. I don't want any of these 14. Like, I thought some of them were nice, of course, or, you know, but I was like, no, this isn't it. He's not here. And that's okay, because I didn't come here with expectations. So when I walked in and I heard Uche's voice, I knew off the bat that he was African based off the name. And then I was like, oh, he sounds like very intellectual and well-spoken, and he seems kind, you know, confident. And so that kind of sparked my interest. And, you know, at first, talking through that wall is very weird. But as time goes on, it kind of takes you back to when you're in high school and you're on the phone all night with somebody. And yeah, you don't have that face-to-face or that physical interaction, but you feel so much through those conversations. And I think people forget when you're filming Love is Blind, you're in a confined space. You don't have internet, TV, phone. You don't have contact with the outside world. And it's just you and these people. And so your entire focus is to find love, find a husband, find a wife. And so it's very intense. That alone sort of intensifies the situation, because that's all you're thinking about 24/7. And so I think that for us, it was just, I don't know if it was just the type of people that were there, but it just felt a bit different from the previous seasons. Just the atmosphere itself. And I've had this talk with some other castmates that it just felt intense in a different way for all of us. But I think there were a good amount of people there who were truly there for marriage. And I think that's what made it so intense, is people were being intentional, asking the right questions. And I know the show does not show all of that, but serious conversations are being had. Very deep. I'm talking like, you're talking about childhood trauma, parenting styles, you're talking about religion, you're talking about everything. And and it's a show that's very entertaining. And of course, they're going to highlight those entertaining moments. But don't get it twisted, there are a lot of deep, emotional and tearful and just very intimate conversations being had. And so it's very easy to fall in love. If you're talking to these people for hours upon hours about any and everything, you are connecting with these people, and it's real.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. So we witnessed the journey. We witnessed the journey of you and Uche connecting. And I was like digging the whole artistry piece. I was like, oh, spoken word, writing, all, you know, all the things. And
yeah,
you're talking about quirks and like you were saying, having just real conversations, you know, even the whole piece about, you know, cheating and just being honest with each other and being vulnerable and transparent. Like you could tell, like you said, that y'all were having real conversations.
Yeah.
But, and I know this was mentioned on Track Stars when you were on there, when you left, it was super abrupt, at least the way it was edited.
Yeah.
So I need you to like connect dots for us. Like what happened between, okay, I'm getting ready for this man to propose to me to, she has decided to leave the show or not be a part of the experiment or experience. I forgot what they called it, but you know what I mean? Like connect some dots for us.
So I want to say maybe like 4 or 5 days into he and I connecting and having days upon days now at this point of conversation, I mentioned to Uche that I was close with Lydia. And there were numerous opportunities leading up to the big moment where it's revealed to me that they had dated, that they were recent, you know, two plus years history, have been intimate recently. There were numerous opportunities for him to come out and say, hey, this is the situation, regardless of what production was cueing you to do. I felt like if we had the bond that I thought was real, you know, that we're building and we're trying to build something that's based on honesty, which is something you need, honesty and trust in a marriage. Then tell me the truth. Give me warning. Hey, watch out. This, that. This is what I went through with this person. you knew she was there from the first day. I feel like once we had established a true bond and you knew that you wanted to leave with me, which was pretty early on, then you should have told that to me, because I was coming in there sharing things with him in regards, and he never said anything. And mind you, my belief on it was I told you hard truths, things that people would have most likely hidden about themselves, about their past, things that people are ashamed of, but because I wanted to build an authentic bond and foundation with you, I told the truth. And I felt like I didn't get that same respect. So there were multiple times after the truth was revealed to me that I tried to leave the show, but they only show the final time. I tried to leave 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Out of disappointment and just being bothered by what was happening on the women's side, production, you know, there was a lot of pressure to stay. And I think it was just because, well, we've already got this much of this storyline. We got to keep this going. And I get what their job is on their end. But on my end, I'm like, this is a real marriage. These are my real feelings. This is my time, you know, all those things. And I don't feel comfortable anymore. And now looking back, I always say, like, at the time I was lukewarm. I believed in Jesus, I believed in God, but I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't a praying woman, only really when I needed something from God.
Yeah.
And this was the first time that I went to God in prayer, and it was like desperation. Like there was just something in me that was like, I've seen failed marriage. My parents have been divorced. I don't know how to do marriage, and I'm gonna go to God and ask him, what do I do? Do I stay or do I leave? And I have revealed on previous interviews, even before giving my life to Christ, that I prayed about this decision, and God was the one who instructed me to leave Love is Blind. And I did not want to. Like, this is a thing that people don't get. If it had been up to me, I probably would have stayed and married him.
Really?
Yes. Yes. It was the first time that I obeyed the voice of God without knowing what I was really doing. I heard the why have you not left yet from God, and I just did it because I was like, it was like nothing was letting me feel comfortable about staying. Like just that disruption in my spirit, I could not be at peace. I tried to stay, and it was like, I told you to leave.
And I'm so glad you were being obedient.
I listen. I think everybody who's had that conviction or that push from God knows what I'm talking about. When I say I couldn't be at peace, I wanted to go this way, he wouldn't let me go that way. And I get it because I met my husband 3 months later. But it's just, 3 months later after leaving the show, I met my husband. But it just, I remember leaving and the production being mad and everybody being mad and having that phone call moment. And I'm emotional because it's like deep down, I'm like, dang, did I do the right thing? I pray God said this. God, like, are you ever going to send me a person, or am I going to be alone for the rest of my life? Like so many thoughts just kind of going through my head at this point. But I just said, I know I did the right thing. Like there was just this innate knowing that I did the right thing by leaving.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. Did you have to be talked into coming back to have the conversation afterward? Or was that something that you initiated or wanted to do?
I had to be talked into it. Yeah. My first probably 3 times of being asked, I said no, because I didn't feel comfortable. But then at the end of it, the reason why I went back was because I was like, well, I did kind of just up and leave this guy on a show that isn't right, regardless of how people feel. Yeah. No one really knows that I prayed about it, or that, like, I don't even, you know what I mean, know how to articulate it at this point. And so I just was like, well, the least I could do is go and have a conversation with him face to face, like explain to him what was happening on the women's side, how I was feeling. I wasn't comfortable. I didn't feel emotionally safe. And I felt like you didn't give me the honesty that I felt I deserved.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what led me to go back. I really don't like that it looks like I went and I'm just like, oh, take me back. It was a very mutual like conversation where we both agreed we wanted to try to date off camera. And Uche actually ends up sharing this on his Instagram where he says, hey, look, guys, I don't know if this was sound bites or what, but Aaliyah and I's conversation didn't go down like that. We both agreed we wanted to date each other. We both agreed we wanted to try. It just didn't work out.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And
we went on one date.
Crazy. Certain things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's media. That is media. But wow. Okay. So y'all went on one date and you said it didn't work out.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you tried, but you were obedient. That's the big, that's the biggest thing. Like, you were obedient to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit in the midst of the process. So, yeah. Okay. 3 months later, you met your husband.
Yeah. So, I was trying, this is another, this God is just funny because when I think about all this and I talk about it out loud with people now, it's just like, he put me where he wanted me to be. I was trying to get a job in Houston, another contract to be there so I could date Uche and see where that could go. And
wow.
I could not, for the life of me, as a travel nurse, for the first time, could not, I guess, find a contract in the Houston area.
Wow.
And so I ended up getting one in the Bay Area in California. I left about a week after I filmed that final scene on Love is Blind. And I went up to San Francisco and I started working up there. And yeah, I met my husband on a cruise, like a day cruise party thing. It was an R&B event and we were both there solo. And, you know, he shot his shot, y'all. He made it.
So.
Very chivalrous and just sweet, and it really stood out to me. And so, yeah, that's how we met. So,
wow. Yeah. How long did you two date before you know, before he proposed?
So we met in July of 2022, and he proposed July 2024 on the 4th of July.
Aww.
So, yeah. It was two long years. And I like to, like, again, point out at this point, we were not saved. You know, we were, well, he was fresh out of a relationship, nearly got married to somebody else. I was fresh out of that situation, nearly got married to someone else, you know? So we were both just sort of in this state of like, I know that I almost made a really huge mistake or a wrong turn. And I think it just, again, I feel like it was divine. Like, we always talk about how we feel like it was just divine intervention, because neither one of us went there looking to date anybody. You know, we were just there to have a good time and enjoy the scene, and left, you know, interested in a new person. So, yeah.
So how does your relationship with God parallel or correspond with your relationship with your now husband? Like, when did you officially, like, I'm going all in with Christ? Like, when did that happen for you?
So I would say this, and this is probably going to kind of take a sort of a turn. Just going into the year of 2024, I don't know what was going on with me. I think mentally I was really struggling with the public reaction to the show. And also I had this really deep loss of direction. Like, I just didn't know what I wanted to do anymore with myself, with my life. I had been pursuing writing songs with a very well-known R&B artist and producer that I don't want to name, just for legal reasons. But I was going through some issues with that person and that team and that writing team. And I was struggling mentally with a whole lot. I mean, having panic attacks. And by this point as well, I was a pretty heavy smoker. I was just dabbling in a lot to try to cope with what was going on in my life. And I remember just having this moment, maybe December 2023, early 2024, just praying again in desperation to God, like, I feel lost. I don't know if I'm supposed to be in this relationship. I don't know if I'm supposed to be pursuing these things or what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel very lost. I need wisdom. I need help. I need guidance. And it was a very genuine and humble prayer. Like, I just remember, like, really crying out and just saying, help. I don't know if you hear me, but help me, please.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't like the way I'm feeling. And I just think I reached a point too where I didn't recognize myself. Like, there was a time where I'm like, wouldn't have never smoked. Now I'm smoking multiple times a day. You know, I'm drinking more than I usually would, just trying to cope with life. And I didn't like that about myself. And I also struggled with other things like porn addiction and just other deep-rooted struggles. And I just said, Lord, help me. So the first thing that I did after that prayer was, well, I won't say I did it because I don't think I would have been able to do it in my own will, but God took the porn addiction totally, like, just the urge for porn completely left. This was in January of 2024. So that was the first thing that was removed from my life. And I want to say after about 2 months of that, I actually discovered Track Stars and some Christian platforms. And I remember coming across these platforms and watching different things about porn addiction and different things. And I'm just like, I've never seen this stuff before. All of a sudden I'm praying and like things are just sort of popping up in my face and I'm just like, hmm. And so then, you know, like I had another prayerful moment with God where I was just like, okay, like I'm 2 months in, I'm feeling better. You know, I still feel like I need help. And I hear the word covenant while I'm praying. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I had never ever heard the word covenant. I didn't know what that word meant. And it won't be the first time that God has taught me new words. He's, you know, he's just, God is so brilliant. So anywho, I hear that word and I just kind of ignored it. And I went back to praying and then I go to bed. And that night God woke me up out of my sleep and I heard an audible voice telling me, you need to come out of your covenant. Throw your, like, I had this innate knowing that it was about Delta. I was in Delta, Sigma Theta. And in the middle of the night, I mean, it had to have been like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm pulled out of my sleep. And people who know me know that I am a deep sleeper. I don't wake up when I go to sleep. I'm out. You can't wake me up. People, I mean, in college, it was an ongoing joke. People used to do things to me while I was asleep, put draw on my face. Like, I am a deep sleeper. So I even being woken up like that was weird for me, but just feeling God's presence and hearing come out of the covenant. And I'm like, what's a covenant? I'm sitting in my bed. My husband is asleep next to me. And I'm just like, what is a covenant? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means. And then he said, throw it all away. Throw it away. Throw it all away. And I knew at that point that he was talking about my Delta stuff. And I'm just like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, I just remember being so confused. At this point, my husband wakes up and he's like, are you okay? You know, just, it's 2 o'clock. Why are you sitting up in the bed? And I told him, I think God is telling me I have to leave my sorority. And so in the middle of the night, I throw all my sorority stuff away in our trash chute that's right outside the hall. And I just remember coming back to bed and being like, okay, God, I did it. Now what? And yeah, I mean, from that night on, my life has just completely changed. That next day, I started deep diving into what a covenant is. I started learning about all these different things and digging into scripture. You know, I renounced my sorority at that time. I do all the renouncing. And then, you know, I start a spiritual fast that just was sent to me a month prior to that. So I didn't even, I'd never done a fast before. My friend sent me this spiritual fast and I told her, I'm like, I'm not sure I really want to do this. Like, I've never done a fast before. It was the Year of the Bride fast from Tiffany Montgomery. And I didn't know anything about fasting. So I was just like, nah, I kind of ignored that. But after I did the renouncing, God led me to go back, like told me to go and watch the first video. And just so much through that 25, 26 day fast occurred in my life, spiritually, deliverance, just so many different things that I went through. And yeah, just from that night to now, my life has totally changed. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. We gotta dissect.
Yeah. I know it's so much, but I'm like, let me just put it out there. So people know this was serious.
Yeah, my husband, he renounced his fraternity and also threw out all of the paraphernalia stuff that he had. Yeah. And then I found something in the closet the other day. I was like, you forgot this! Get it out! Get it out of our house! Like the covenant stuff is so whoo.
Yeah.
Like when you start to really understand and how your words have so much power. And mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like we don't, when we don't understand, I think the enemy kind of takes advantage of us when we're saying things, and it's so powerful and can create these long-term strongholds that you don't even know like what's going on and why you're struggling with different things. And then when God finally reveals, you're like, oh my God, I did not mean to do this. Like, I wish more people spiritual eyes will be open, but thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's been my constant prayer ever since, because, you know, I don't judge anybody. I know what it's like to be, I was on member for almost 10 years and I know what it's like to be in something and just kind of be blind to that, you know, not knowing what these things really mean spiritually, what the implications are, and just going through that fast. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but the dreams and the revelations and the visions that God gave me, the insight, it's just things that I can never deny now. It's like I've met atheists and all kinds of people. I've had all kinds of conversations with folks since. And it's just like, you can't turn my faith. I know God is real. I know what he's shown me. I know the encounter I've had, the encounters I've had, and I know the freedom that I feel, the weight that has been lifted off of me and my heart, the healing God has done in me. And I just can't deny his power. I know the Lord is real. Yeah.
I want to ask, like, what, because I mean, literally, and we've talked about this a couple times on the show, I feel like today's culture is a Jesus and culture. It's Jesus and smoking, or Jesus and Delta, or Jesus and blackness, or Jesus and, you know, whatever, possessions, power, status, whatever you want to name. But it's like, yeah, I love the Lord, but I love this too. And so I guess my question to you is, like, what would you say to those that name the name of Jesus Christ, but for whatever reason, you know, haven't fully surrendered their entire life to the Lord? They know, they may know him as Savior, but they don't know him as Lord. Like, what would you say to them? And what are some practical steps even that you can give them to take towards surrender?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that when it comes to understanding who God truly is, that's something that takes intentionality. I think a lot of times people don't realize they're doing this, but they're saying they're a Christian and they're a believer, but it's a label. It's not a way of living. It's not their life. It's not a relationship that they uphold. You know what I mean? And the only way to really know God is to build and be intentional in that relationship with him, reading the word and praying, and not only praying to talk and ask, but praying to receive and listen and obey, you know? And I think if you're not reading scripture and you don't know that love for God is obedience, then you're going to live a life of disobedience. And that was me for a very long time. I felt like all I needed to do was say I believed in God and that was enough. And it took God pulling me out of my sleep and telling me, you are in covenant. If you want to have wisdom, if you want to have peace, you've got to come into covenant with me. And I didn't realize that I wasn't in covenant. I didn't know that covenant and having that binding relationship with God was important. And I think that that's the missing piece that a lot of people don't understand, is the lordship comes from obedience. Like, we can't call somebody Lord if we're just doing our own thing, if there's nothing that's ordering our step. God is our King. He is our Father. He is God, but he is also Lord. And his way is the way that we're saying we're choosing when we give our lives to him, you know. And I think a lot of times people also don't realize what idolatry is. You know, we know the Ten Commandments. That's one of the first things you learn as a child or as a person who gives their life to Christ. But then what but then we don't understand the actual definition and how idolatry can also be more than just worshiping Buddha or worshiping Allah. It's more than just another God figure or divine or pagan figure. It can be things, it can be organizations, it can be money, it can be titles. And so I think that people even not understanding, again, what certain things mean in scripture is what leads us into these wayward situations. And I mean, that's the scriptures say, for lack of knowledge, you know, people are perishing because we don't understand. And I think my prayer has been pretty much since is that people's eyes are open, you know, people's ears are ready to receive truth, and that, you know, people's hearts are softened and people are given hearts of flesh, because it's very difficult when you are spiritually blinded by so many different things and idols to receive that truth. It's hard. And I know, because people actually did try to tell me about my sorority membership being idolatry. And I remember just thinking, like, no, we volunteer, we do this, we do that. And I didn't realize until God showed me during that fast that I had opened doors to so many things. And I'm wondering, like, why I'm struggling with this and why I'm struggling with that, and why it seems like year after year things aren't getting better but worse behind the curtain, obviously, because it's very easy to present yourself a certain way to the public and you look like you got it all together, but it's like behind the scenes you're suicidal, you're addicted to this, you're addicted to that, you know, your relationships are a mess, all those sorts of things. And again, just looking at the healing power of God and how he's restored my relationships and my family with my parents. I'm married now. Didn't even think that was really a possibility. I'm married now. I'm in health. I'm not addicted to any substances, not using any substances anymore. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just like, y'all, the answer to the things that you're struggling to are in the Lord, and not just in saying you believe in him, but walking with him and obeying him. The freedom will come with that true intentional building of a relationship and just getting to know him. Because I don't know, the resentment piece that I was talking about growing up, God's love removed all that resentment that I had for so many years, y'all. Like, when I say I was resentful, I was one of those ones that's like, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, I don't go to church, I don't read the Bible. I mean, is the Bible even real? Like, are these scriptures, is the Bible for Black people? I was one of those. Yeah. And it to get to a place where it's like, now I cannot even deny God. I'm scared to. I cannot do it. I love him. I'm grateful. I feel free. It's one of those things where it's like, I would never go back to the way my life was before. And I'm okay with that, you know, regardless of what people think. So, yeah.
With your transformation, what about your friends or even your castmates? How have they received you and the new Aaliyah? Like, I'm sure you've shared your testimony with others. Have they been receptive to it?
You know, the hardest part, I think, that for me has been not everyone being receptive to who I am now. I think that's something that I knew was going to come with publicly denouncing when I did do that. And there have been maybe one or two previous, you know, sorority members that will still reach out occasionally and say, see how I'm doing. One or two best friends from college that are still around. And one castmate from Love is Blind, who's actually one of my closest friend and is also a sister in Christ. So, you know, that has been enough. And I think God had to show me it's not about quantity, it's quality. And I'm rebuilding your village. So it's okay that these people don't accept you and love you. I accept you. I love you. You have enough. You have community. You have a husband. And I thank God for that, because I'm like, ooh, I'm just so glad. I'm like, I don't even know what I would do if my husband did say, you know what, God's doing something to her. Let me see what this guy's about to, because I was very much so prepared for he and I to split up. I didn't know if we were going to stay together, if he was going to say, okay, this girl is weird. I don't know what's going on with her, but I'm out of here. No, I mean, he prayed with me. He prayed over me. He leaned in. He started reading scriptures with me. We started going to church together. We got into counseling together. So it was just amazing to see how he even worked in my husband. My husband is a totally different man today than when we met in 2022. So
that's what I was going to ask, because I'm, of course, you know, I'm putting dates together and everything and trying to figure out like, what was your husband say when you were saved? So it sounds like he was not. Did he come? Wow. That's amazing though, that God like has brought him closer in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, with being obedient, you know, we gave up a lot of things from, you know, what we were doing before. And I'm referring to just like purity and, you know, being abstinent and doing things God's way. And that just really grew us in a way that we just were not expecting. And by December of the year where I initiated a prayer and prayed, and it just, to go from a prayer to being married in 12 months is just, I mean, it still blows my mind. I'm like, I'm somebody's wife. I'm still like, what the heck? But you know, it just still blows my mind. And I think sometimes even with the friendship thing, just going back to that, it's hard for me because I still love those people. I love the people who are still in sororities and fraternities, but just don't know. And I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them all the time. I don't treat people bad or differently, but I'm not afraid to tell them, hey, y'all, this was the truth. This is why I did this. I wasn't afraid to have those conversations with those people. And, you know, I just reminded them like, hey, before all this, I never lied to you about anything. I hope you know that even in this, I'm not lying to you, and that this did happen. And I just urge you to pray about it yourself. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Very good stuff. We have a segment typically where we talk about becoming. And so I know for you, like you were saying, literally over the course of a year, your life has changed drastically. Like, how would you describe or what comes to mind when you hear the words of, you know, Aaliyah becoming? Like, what do you feel like you are becoming, or how do you feel like you're evolving in this season?
That's a really good question. I think I would just say that Aaliyah becoming for me, I would just define that as becoming what God has created me to be. I never ever leaned into God's will, who he is, what he called me to do. I'd never done that before, and I'm still learning that, you know. I'm still discovering all of that, but I think my biggest goal, even for myself, is to be who he wants me to be now. You know, I've done everything my way, epic fails, fall flat on my face, embarrassed in front of the whole world, made bad, that's how it felt. I'm just being honest, you know, made some bad decisions and things. And I just feel like, you know, God is truly my safe space. And if he's pleased, then I'm at peace. And I just want to do what he's called me to do. And I also know that that involves me doing things that I don't want to do sometimes, but you know, there's just this comfort in knowing that, you know, he's proud. If that, it's like making your dad proud. And that's how I see God. I see him as just a father that I want to make proud. And I just want to do what he's called me to do.
I wouldn't say epic fail in front of the world. I would say you're a comeback kid, because you got a whole husband. You have a whole new life. And, you know, when I look at Uche's Instagram, all I see is Uche, Uche, Uche. I said, he must be a narcissist. It's just all about him. So I think you gotta,
you
like,
said it, not me, Toya.
That was like the shade of it all.
You dodged the bullet, though. Seriously, you're a comeback kid. Like, you leveled up. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world doesn't know it. You are going to live your best life. Yeah. It doesn't matter what people say, you know?
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, God's got your back.
They he really does. Yeah. He really does. Like, yeah. God does not play about me. And but it's so funny, y'all, because I realize that as intimate as I feel my relationship is with God, I know he has that with everybody. And I'm just like, I love this for all of us so, so much. Because yeah. It's just nothing like having that covering. Like, God has my back. So yes. He made sure I didn't go that way. He said, uh-uh. We're not doing
that. That is so good. It's been beautiful, though. Like, literally watching you on Love is Blind to listening to you on Track Stars and listening to you, like, today. Like, it's a total 180. Like, it's a total 180. Not to say, like, you know, you were ratchet or anything on Love is Blind, but it's just, like, you were in a completely different headspace. You know what I mean? Like, your demeanor, your countenance was different, you know, just your perspective, your mindset was different. And like, you are like on fire. Like, look, let me tell you, if you don't know, now you know, you know, and like you said, your life looks completely different. So
yeah.
Speaking of people about to know, you are working on a couple of things, but I specifically want to give you some shine regarding your upcoming podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about what sparked it, what we can expect, all those great things?
Yeah, so I appreciate you guys giving me a chance to speak on this because this is like my baby and I'm just so proud of it. But the Lord called me to create this podcast during a fast earlier this year. And I kind of ran from it just because I felt like I was really comfortable being hidden with God. Like, I don't have to be in the public eye. I actually love getting to know God in private. This has been great.
Amen.
But, you know, God said your testimony holds power. So share it as often as you can. And I from having just intimacy with God, the Peer Talks was born from just having intimacy with God. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also just say that expectations, we will be having sit down conversations with a different array of guests, men and women. People will share their testimonies. We'll cover various topics. There is going to be another castmate from Love is Blind on one of the episodes. And I'm very excited about that conversation because she was a believer going on the show. And so she kind of covers what her experience was like being a believer and looking for a man of God and how God led her to her now husband as well. So just a lot of amazing Christ-centered, spirit-led conversations. I think that there are people assigned to these episodes. I have like this firm belief that every guest that is a part of this first season is assigned to this. And there are people that are assigned to listen to it. And so we've been praying over this, my village, we've been praying over Peer Talks for quite some time and it will be premiering this Friday. By the time
I know
it premieres on it's Friday, October 24th.
Yes. So,
it has already come out. So make sure you all tap into the socials and subscribe to the channel and just check out the first two episodes because they are amazing. So yeah.
And where can people listen?
Mm-hmm. People can listen on YouTube. You can watch with visual and audio on YouTube, but you can also stream through Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. So it will be available on all streaming platforms.
Right. And how often are you releasing episodes?
So I'll be releasing a new episode every Friday. So just tap into the notification bell and you will you'll be notified when new episodes drop. So yeah.
Yeah.
They can find it on YouTube,
Apple, Spotify, and Amazon.
Love it. Did we have it spelled right? Is it one word or two word? Peer Talks.
It's one word. So Peer Talks is one word and then podcast. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so exciting. Praise God for your obedience again, because like you were saying, so many people need to hear your story, need to hear your testimony. And I feel like you just bring such a unique perspective, you know? And I believe that God has positioned you to reach the culture, to reach women that are in that very seat that you were talking about, you know, as far as how they were feeling about relationships, about themselves, what their expectations were, even how they may have viewed God, where it's like, yeah, he's all right. But, you know, like literally your journey, your story, your testimony, it's designed to reach so many people. And I believe it's really called for a time such as this. So I'm super excited for you. Like any way we can support, let us know. But really excited.
Thank you. Thank you, Bulls. I received that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, this is just, it's just been a journey, ladies. I don't even know. Just pray for me. Pray for me. Because this is just, I'm still learning and I'm still growing. And, you know, I'm always open to more community, especially from more sisters in Christ. So I appreciate the support and thank you both.
Yeah, well, stay connected with Becoming Eva. Next time you're back in Atlanta, maybe you can join us for in person. You can actually help host.
I would love to. Just let me know. Actually, I think Sean had already mentioned me coming back on next year for Track Stars as well. So we definitely can make it happen.
Perfect, perfect. We're in the same space. So, this has been rich. Toya, you have any other questions, comments, thoughts? I feel like there's honestly much more we could talk about, but I'm like, what do you have anything else that you want to? I feel like
I just want to just say thank you so much for joining us and being transparent and authentic on our show, and just being obedient. I love your testimony. This will reach many, many, many ears already. So we're going to be praying for you in your journey, you and your husband, both of you guys, and hopefully you will stay connected with us. You have our numbers. Stay connected. Thank
you. I was not playing about the motherhood thing. I'm not playing. I'm calling. Look.
Hey. We here. I got you covered on the wife spot, but I'm a mommy in training too. So I'm not. I'm gonna have on speed dial too, Aaliyah. So we in there.
She's a god mommy. Okay. Mason. So
I am.
I'm serious. I appreciate it. I'm definitely gonna need that one of these days. So we got thank you.
Got you.
All right.
Any final closing words of wisdom you want to share, Aaliyah?
Having a relationship with Jesus is the most important thing you could ever do in your life. Just try him. Try him once, and I promise he will show up.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, we will close on out. I don't have any merch. This has been one of those days, Toy. I don't know if you have any merch you want to call out.
I've got my little t-shirt on.
Okay, thank you. I don't have no mug, no water bottle, nothing near me, but
I love
it. Got my jacket, t-shirt.
Check it all out. Go to becomingevatoday.com. You know, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe. Thank you. Shout out too, to Track Stars for helping to grow our audience, because we had a lot of people come and join after we had featured our husbands, Plain James, Shania, and Miracle. So stick around, good people. Tell a friend. We are here. Like, follow, subscribe, all the things. And let us know, too, what you want to hear, like what you want us to talk about. If there's anyone in particular you want us to feature on the show, we are here for all the things. But it's been an absolute pleasure, Aaliyah. We're so excited about the journey God has you on. We are trusting and believing and standing with you and expecting about all that is to come through Pure Talks, your family, all the things. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, ladies. This was so fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, BE community. We'll see y'all next time.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.